Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family, and we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people with a middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. Slice, it's come down to form one new man, one new humanity. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want, as a matter of fact, my guest, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, is literally blowing a shofar of revelation knowledge that only a Messianic Jewish rabbi, only a Messianic Jewish rabbi that lives right outside of New York, was there before and after 9/11, and God spoke to from the ancient scriptures that the same pattern of progressive judgment that occurred to Israel, America is in the midst of right now, and this happens on what is called in Hebrew the Shemitah. That's every 7 years, and debts are released. In fact, that's what the word Shemitah means. It means released or letting rest or remission. And so in 2001 at the Shemitah, guess what happened? The greatest collapse of the stock market in history up to that point. 2008, guess what happened? The next greatest collapse of the stock market in history. These are the exact dates, I'm telling you, of the Shemitah. So the next one's coming up on 2015. What prophetic sign is happening with progressive judgment that is occurring? Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, we talked about the various vows that those in authority said, and they actually used the words of the Jewish prophet Isaiah from chapter 9, verse 10. They used those words, and John Edwards, who was running for vice president, did that right at Ground 11. Then Tom Daschle did that. And shortly after they used the exact words of that ancient prophecy, they fell. What about President Obama? Tell me about that third witness.
Okay, yeah, we're finally going to get to Obama, yes. Well, today, this is the law. To understand this mystery, it's the law of witnesses. And I'm sure, you know, most of your listeners are aware. But the law of witnesses, you know, is that in the Bible, for a truth to be established or for a judgment to be passed, there has to be the testimony of at least two or three witnesses. Now, here's the other part of it. It to take it to another realm, it's not only for people, it actually applies to nations. So therefore, if you have the same prophetic judgment or warning or omen repeated now by two witnesses, so as you just said, Sid, and let's just to set it up, is that that God gives a warning to a nation. He gave it to ancient Israel before, in the last days before its destruction. First was a breach of its borders. Then came nine harbingers. In those of warning, sirens of alarm, saying you're going, if you don't turn back, you're going to be judged. Two of those were the vows being spoken. Isaiah says that at ancient times the leaders made this vow. They said, or the people, but it's leaders saying, defying God, exact words. Isaiah 9:10. That's it. You can check it out. Exact words. We will rebuild. We're going to defy it. And it talks about stones and trees, etc. Now, the amazing thing, as Sid said, is that this actually happened in America. Two witnesses. Two leaders of America, as Sid said, the first happened the day after the calamity in 9/11 from Capitol Hill, from the Senate chamber. Tom Daschle, the Senate, actually gives America's response and actually quotes the judgment vow, pronouncing judgment on America and declaring America is in danger and is in defiance. Then 3 years later, on the anniversary of 9/11, as you said, John Edwards does it, and he does it and he doesn't know what he's doing, and none of them know what they're doing, but they say it. And the whole speech is vowing the vow. Now that's two witnesses. The same thing, actually, and both of the witnesses take place. It happens in Washington D.C. Each one is connecting it to 9/11. Each thing. saying each one is identifying America as the nation under judgment. So that's two witnesses, and they don't know what they're doing. But the Bible says two or three witnesses. So could it be, in the matter of a nation's judgment, could there be a third witness? And so here is now, we're going to go to the third witness. Could there be a third witness who is even higher than the Senate Majority Leader or the vice presidential candidate? And there is. There is a third witness. Who is the third witness? The third witness is the President of the United States of America. And this is evening. It is February 24th, 2009. The new president makes a visit to Capitol Hill. It's 1 month after his inauguration. Everybody's saying, you know, this is the new, this is the hope, this is it, Obama, it's going to be everything. Well, he enters the chamber of the House of Representatives. He makes his way down the aisle, people applauding. He goes to make a speech to the nation, his first major speech. The nation's economy is in free fall because of the economic collapse. It's a foreboding over the future. And even before he utters his first words, it's being hailed as the most important address of his early presidency. It's his moment to give America an answer to its greatest crisis now. The chamber gets quiet. He begins. He says, Madam Speaker, Mr. Vice President, members of Congress, goes on. I've come here tonight to address this, you know, the nation, the speaker here. He says, the economy, Americans are watching right now. The state of economy is the concern that rises above all others. And after setting the stage, this is what he says. Listen, he says, but while our economy may be weakened and our confidence shaken, though we're living in difficult, uncertain times, tonight I want every American to know this. We will rebuild.
That's a quote from Isaiah 9:10, which was the parting comment before Israel was destroyed.
Yeah, before the destruction. And this is exactly what each of the others said. It's a central line of the vow that each of the others actually did word for word. And I don't think the others didn't realize what it was about. They knew they were quoting, but they had no idea what they were talking about. They didn't know that it was a warning of judgment and omen. But Obama, I don't believe he even realized that he was even quoting or not. The fact is he had to do it. It's part of the mystery. And now, and notice something else, he's linking we will rebuild, you know, that might be natural to say when your house falls down, but not with an economic crisis. Yet he's saying these words, and it's linking 9/11 now, where this was said on the day after 9/11, to the economic collapse, the two shakings, or the two judgment warnings of that has happened. And then, and here's another thing: if you did an experiment, Sid, if you went to the internet then, and all you did was typed in the words "we will rebuild" before the president's speech, it would actually take you. One of the top things it would take you to is Isaiah 9:10. That's how identified it is. But if, as the night went on, when the president was speaking, all of a sudden you would watch something on the internet across the world, is the president's word would start replacing the position of the words of the scripture. In other words, it would start pushing everything down. The president's words would start replacing the words of ancient Israel, the scriptures that you would find on the internet. Now, during that night, what happened? Nothing happened across the world. And now the harbinger this morning is going to spread across the world. All the news services, newspapers, internet sites, all over the world, they had to choose a quote to label the president's speech in the headlines. Of all the words he said that night, the words that was most manifested all across the world were the words from Isaiah 9:10. They put, for instance, you know, CBS News, Obama, we will rebuild, headlines. CNN, Obama, we will rebuild. New York Times, Obama vows, we will rebuild. Al Jazeera, Obama pledges, U.S. rebuild. They all put on there the words from Isaiah. It went all across the world. And then the president added a second line. He said, we will rebuild, and he said, we will recover. Now the strange thing there is, it's familiar. On the day after 9/11, when the Senate Majority Leader proclaimed the vow, Isaiah 9:10, he ended his speech by saying, we will rebuild and we will recover. Same exact words the president, without realizing, is uttering the words of the vow after 9/11. And to notice something else, the first witness, this is Tom Daschle, on the day after 9/11, where does he do this? Where does he make the vow? Where does he bear witness? It's in the Capitol, on Capitol Hill. Where does Obama, the third witness, where does he do it? On Capitol Hill. Where does, you know, the Capitol Hill, you got two chambers, two witnesses. You got the House, you got the Senate. These are two witnesses in order for a law to pass. What happens on the day after 9/11? The first witness, Daschle, says the vow in the House, the one chamber. Years later, Obama says the vow on the other side, in the House of Representatives, both two witnesses. two witnesses. And if you look at the commentary on Isaiah 9:10, the commentaries say, you know, these people, they're arrogant, and they're saying that they're going to determine their own destiny. Well, listen to what Obama says on 90. He says,
but this is ancient Israel, and we're showing the same pattern of ancient Israel with this arrogance is the pattern of what's going on in America.
Exactly. And the president said, just like Israel said, hey, we're going to determine our own destiny. Obama says, we're going to determine our own destiny. And they said, we're going to rebuild with our power. It's going to be us who do it. Well, Obama says, what's the answer? We're going to do it. The answers of our problems, he says that night, are the answers. We're going to do it. We're going to rebuild. And at the end, he says, he adds this vow. He says, and the United States of America will emerge stronger than before. That's exactly Isaiah 9:10, which says it will. We're going to come back with stones and strength. And if you take the words of a commentary on Isaiah 9:10, you put it together with the president, what he said that night, it's eerie. The commentary says, they boasted, this is about ancient Israel, as you said, they boasted they would rebuild their devastated country. The president, we will rebuild, we will recover. Commentary, and make it stronger and more glorious than ever before. President, and the United States of America will emerge stronger than before. It's like almost word for word. The biblical law, the three witnesses, it's said three times, all in Washington, on Capitol Hill, and then it gets to the presidency itself, and his word spreads over the globe. We will rebuild goes all over the world. The three witnesses means the truth is confirmed. Judgment is borne witness to, and if we don't repent, if America doesn't turn back, it's going to come to pass.
Well, the thing that I'm pondering, and I'm really pondering this deeply, is that the first witness, Tom Daschle,
yes,
after he quoted the words of Isaiah 9:10, he fell. Then the second witness, John Edwards, after he quoted the words of Isaiah 9:10, he fell. What is going to happen to President Obama after quoting the... And see, these are prophetic signs. Only a messianic rabbi could see this. I mean, I wish our State Department, I wish everyone running for office in the United States of America, I wish every citizen would get this revelation knowledge. We have a two-part prophetic series by Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, Harbinger, the Warning, Harbinger, the Shaking. 7 CDs available for a gift of $50. Call or write today. To hear this week's interview in its entirety, or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.